Investment flash.
Buddy, if you only looked at oil this weekend, you'd think the market was rallying. Everything else? Not so much.
Good morning and welcome to Investment Flash, weekend edition for Sunday, May 17th, 2026. I'm Marie, joined by Tom and Gerald. Oil is literally the only game in town. USO up another 3.7%. Everything else bleeding out. The risk on trade broke.
Yeah, look, it's a one-asset market right now. Crude is ripping, energy stocks are up, even coal's making a comeback. But the bond sell-off is telling you this isn't just a supply scare. It's a full-on safe haven rejection.
Exactly. Treasuries getting dumped while oil, coal, shipping, all this hard asset stuff is screaming higher. It's like the market woke up and decided the only thing that matters is Strait of Hormuz disruptions.
And it's not just the Strait. Bloomberg has a record drone attack on a Russian refinery overnight, 3 dead in Moscow. Between Iran and Ukraine, energy infrastructure is under literal fire.
No way. That drone strike is nuts. So we've got Hormuz closed, refineries blowing up, and coal demand spiking because countries can't get oil. The energy sector is just printing.
All right. But USO is 2% from its 52-week high, up 100% year-to-date. The trade is crowded. If a ceasefire rumor hits, that thing reverses faster than I can say mean reversion.
Gerald's not wrong. The WSJ puts the economic damage at $45 billion. That's real consumer pain. Demand destruction at these prices isn't priced in yet. Everyone's chasing. No one's thinking about what oil above 150 actually does to the economy.
Fair, but the catalysts are structural. The FT is reporting Gulf freight rates are spiking so hard that ships are turning to trucks. That's a physical bottleneck, not just sentiment. We're seeing a global inventory race.
Right, and the FT also points out that trucking demand is surging. That's why J.B. Hunt is at a 52-week high. But when a trucking company is a hot buy because ships can't move, maybe we're in a slightly unusual moment.
Slightly unusual. The understatement of the year.
Look, I'm going to push back on the energy train a bit. The bond market is giving us a massive red flag. TLT at a 52-week low, yield spiking. This isn't just inflation. It's the Japanese repatriation trade. FT reports record Japanese yields are triggering bets that they'll pull money out of U.S. treasuries.
Yeah, and MarketWatch's headline is brutal. April's inflation spike leaves Warsh and the Fed zero excuses not to raise rates. Zero excuses. That's not hawkish, that's a sledgehammer. The Fed might need a couples therapist, honestly.
The Fed needs a therapist. Right, so the dollar's the only safe haven left.
So the Fed is cornered, Japan is selling, and bonds are getting crushed. But that's also dollar positive, right? DXY is up 1% this week.
With a bullet. If the Fed actually hikes into this, the dollar rips. The whole AI and cuts narrative from earlier this year, honestly, that's been taken out back.
Speaking of narratives getting wrecked, silver. India tightened import rules to defend the rupee, and SLV plunged 8.6% today. That's a structural demand hit, not a blip.
Dude, 8.6% in one session? That's a crash for an industrial metal. And it's down 11% this week. I know we talk about oil, but silver is in free fall.
This is the kind of policy move that has a long tail. India is the world's biggest silver importer. If they're clamping down to save foreign exchange, that demand isn't coming back quickly. The rupee at all-time lows isn't helping. India deciding to protect the rupee and tanking global silver demand? That's a new one for the unintended consequences file.
Honestly, if you're looking for a clean short, silver is as structural as it gets.
Totally.
Yep.
But with oil, bonds, and now silver all moving on geopolitics, diversification is a joke right now.
Everything is correlated, except healthcare, apparently. The WHO declared that Congo Ebola outbreak a global health emergency, a rare strain with no approved vaccine. Moderna and Pfizer could be on it.
Hold on. The health emergency play is tricky.
Moderna's down 7% this week, so there is a speculative entry. But vaccine stocks don't always rally on these headlines. Sometimes they just remind investors of pandemic risk.
Pfizer is 12% below its high, so maybe some asymmetric upside. But I'd argue the actual safe haven bid is in the healthcare sector broadly. XLV gained 1.4% this week. People rotate into healthcare when things get scary.
Right, and with the bond sell-off hammering tech, that rotation makes sense. But let's talk NVIDIA. Goldman Sachs literally said it has accelerating momentum. The stock is down 4.4% today, but it's still up 2.7% this week.
Tom, Goldman calling momentum on a stock with a forward PE of 20 after a year of rallying. I mean, that's not analysis, that's a postcard from 6 months ago.
Oh, come on. 20 times forward earnings for the dominant AI chip company isn't expensive. The bond sell-off is the only thing capping it. If rates stabilize, NVIDIA rips again.
But rates aren't stabilizing, Tom. That's the whole point. The Bloomberg piece warns the bond sell-off threatens to knock the AI frenzy off course. Rising yields compete with growth stocks. NVIDIA's earnings growth can only fight the tide for so long.
That's fair.
Absolutely.
That's the dynamic.
To be fair, NVIDIA's resilience this week is impressive. Most of big tech is in the red. But as always, none of this is investment advice. We're just talking.
Fair enough. Now, can we just circle back to that Xi-Trump trade deal? Nikkei Asia says they agreed to lower some tariffs, with China highlighting Boeing purchases. Boeing is down 3.8% today. Market didn't buy it.
Of course not. Spur trade by lowering some tariffs. Where are the specifics? Agricultural trade, Boeing purchases. It's a headline, not an agreement. Chinese equities sold off 2.8%. Talk is cheap.
And Boeing dropping on the news is the market saying, we've heard this before. The stock is 13% below its high. Until there's a contract, it's just noise.
All right. But Boeing at these levels with a potential jet order from China, that's a catalyst if it materializes. I'm watching it.
Speaking of watching, let's talk about my former buy call. Yesterday, I was bullish on NextEra Energy. Today, WSJ says they're near a deal to acquire Dominion Energy. Stock down 2.4% on dilution fears.
Ah, Gerald, your timing. First the buy call, then the acquisition gossip. The universe has a sense of humor.
Look, mate, it happens. The deal could close Monday, and Dominion, the target, is unchanged, so it might get a premium. But Eni as the acquirer, yeah, not ideal near term. That's why we're holding Eni for now.
And that's the mergers and acquisitions game. One day, you're a utility with steady earnings. The next, you're chasing a rival, and your stock pays the price. At least it keeps things interesting.
All right, while we're on contrarian takes, the FT Markets piece on UK gilts caught my eye. They argue gilts are not as bad as they seem, unfairly mispriced in the global bond sell-off.
That's a lonely call. Gilts have been pummeled along with everything else. IGLT dipped 1.1% today. But the idea is the UK's fiscal outlook isn't as dire as yields imply.
I mean, when the FT says gilts not so bad in the middle of a brutal bond sell-off, that takes some nerve. But do we buy it?
Honestly, it's a relative value play. If you think the global bond route is overdone, UK gilts might be the most oversold. But the global trend is a bear market in bonds. Fighting that is a quick way to lose a limb.
Which ties into our most original take. The FT piece is essentially saying the sell-off left gilts as the anomaly. It's a rare bullish fixed income argument right now. We'll see if it plays out.
Speaking of rare, the drone attack on Moscow is another escalation. Bloomberg says it killed three, hit a refinery. That's a new level for the Russia-Ukraine war.
And it directly raises sanctions risk. Russian equities are essentially untradeable anyway. But gold? GLD is down 2.3% today. But historically, it spikes on these events. It's a hedge if things get worse.
The geopolitical risk is just piling on top of the energy crisis. It's like the market can't catch a break from bad news. But gold is weird. It's selling off with bonds, which tells you the dollar is the real safe haven right now.
Exactly. The dollar is winning. Commodities ex energy are losing. It's a total dispersion trade.
And that's our view. The cleanest expression isn't a single ticker. It's long energy versus short broad equities. XLE versus SPY as a pair trade captures the regime without single stock risk.
Exactly.
100%.
That's the whole story.
And the bear case for oil, demand destruction. The WSJ's $45 billion rupture figure is the consumer hit. If oil stays above 150, people stop driving, airlines cut flights, and suddenly the supply crunch eases from the demand side.
Right, but that hasn't shown up in the data yet. So for now, the oil trade is still working. Just don't fall in love with it.
And keep an eye on silver. That India import clamp is structural, and the market is only beginning to price it. 8.6% down today might not be the end.
All right, friends, we've covered a lot. Oil, bonds, silver, biotech, mergers and acquisitions, trade hopes, and a drone strike. Markets are wild.
They are. And we're back with Monday's London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time. Have a great rest of the weekend. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
See you bright and early. Investment Flash.